program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Glory to God. Matthew chapter 12, if you would. Matthew chapter 12. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit will move in my heart and in my brain and through my mouth to speak what He wants spoken. I have notes today. We want to hear from Jesus Himself. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, I want to begin in verse 46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and his brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." And he replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" He wasn't denying Mary and he wasn't denying his brothers, which one of his brothers is James. We're going to read something from James later. He wasn't denying that he was kin to them, but he wanted to use it as an observation point. He said this, he said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And then he turns and he points to his disciples. I want you to notice that word disciples. It's kind of like the word discipline. And what it literally means, it means a student or a learner who has come under a teacher or a teaching in order to learn a discipline. I used to give guitar lessons. And I couldn't teach kids what I didn't know, but I could teach them. I got really good at teaching beginners because I just barely knew more than they did. But I teach them how to do chords, and here's how I did it. I taught them hymns and worship songs on the guitar, and I just teach them chords. But all it was simply this. First of all, they had to decide they wanted to learn. I could not decide for them that they wanted to learn. One time I kind of encouraged Sharon. I wanted Sharon to learn to play guitar. It's cool. We play together. She got her tender little fingers on them metal strings for just a little bit and decided, you know what? She's going to stick with playing what the Lord gave her to play. She plays flute and keyboard and stuff, and she's like, "That guitar, that's too painful." I'm going to tell you about playing the guitar. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to get through the hard part at first. And to get these calluses on your fingers where them strings don't feel like somebody's cutting into your finger with a knife. Because it hurts. It really does hurt until you get these calluses developed. You have to have discipline. Because it's a different thing than you've ever done before. Well, these disciples, these disciplined ones, I want you to think about who they are. They are the likes of Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and others. One of them was named Simon. He was a tax collector. Boy, he had a high-paying job. Of course, everybody hated him, but he had a lot of money. Seemed to be doing all right. But when Jesus walked by and said, "Come follow me," he just left. Four out of the 12 disciples were fishermen that were literally in business with their families. It was their family business. They were in line to inherit the family business, and Jesus said, "Come follow me," and they just left. You see, it didn't cost them nothing to follow Jesus. It cost them everything. But at the same time, he was going to take that everything that they gave up. What did Jesus say in Luke 6:38? Does anybody know? "Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It'll come back to you." In other words, you're not going to give something up for God that God's not going to restore you back more and better. But he's not an ATM machine. He's God. So these disciples, they're disciplined. And he said, "Here is my mother. And here's my brothers." In other words, these people have made themselves my family. He called them, yes, but they responded. And then he went on and said this about you, about me. He pointed his disciples and goes, "Here's my mother and here's my brothers." And then he went on and said this, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Whoever does the will, whoever does, that means we ought to be doers. Now, I said this last week, and I stick to it. God called you to be a human being, not a human doing. What you be is more important than what you do. But what you do ought to be flowing out of who you be. And once again, I said, "Well, that's not good grammar." No, it's not. I agree. But it is good theology. It's a good understanding of how God works. God will change you on the inside, and then your actions are going to show that change and going to promote that change and grow that change and bring the change. So it's about being a doer. Now let's keep reading here in the first verse of the 13th chapter. Literally just keep going. That same day, after saying those words about being a doer, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. And such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it, and all the people stood on the shore. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, but it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered away because they didn't have any root. And other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked out the plant. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it had produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And then he makes this statement, and I bet you've heard this one before. He who has ears, what? He who has ears, let him hear. I'm pretty sure he wasn't talking about these appendages on the side of my head. I'm glad for them because they hold my sunglasses in place. I'm glad for them because they funnel physical sound into my ear canals. But I don't hear God with my ear canals. I hear God with a different ear. The Bible calls your inner being your heart. If you take off the H and you take off the T, what do you got left? E-A-R, your ear. Your inner being is where you hear God. It's your spirit. The Bible calls it your heart, but it never talks about your blood pumper. It's talked about your spirit, your innermost being. And Jesus saying, literally, if you can hear me, well, give them the Passion Translation. It'll say it just like I want it said. If you're able to understand this, Jesus says, let him who has ears, if you're able to understand this, then you need to respond. You need to what? Agree? Do you need to agree? Well, that would maybe be the first part of responding, but that's not necessarily response. I want to make sure we get on the same page before we move on. I can agree with God all day long and not take one step in the direction that he's wanting me to go. I can hear about Jesus, that he's the one who brings freedom, he's the hope, he's the way, the truth, and the life. I can agree with that all day long, and it don't change nothing. It's far better than disagreeing, amen? But he's not just calling me to agree with it. Even the most powerful truth in the Word of God, he's not just calling me to agree that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth and died on the cross for our sins, willingly sacrificed himself for our sins, took our sin upon him, and released to us his righteousness. And says, well, I agree. That's good. I'm glad you agree. But you need to respond to that agreement. We're talking about responding. We're talking about putting it in action. Amen. Somebody hear me talk about tithing earlier, giving. Well, I agree with that. Are you doing it? Okay. Are you going to do it? See, we've got to respond. Thinking about praying for someone is not the same as praying for someone. Someone would say, hey, man, good to see you. Hey, keep me in prayer, would you? Here's what you need to do when someone says, keep me in prayer. You go, okay, let's pray. But we're in the post office. Where better than there? Where did you receive the quest for prayer? Right there. We'll pray right there for starters. And then go out, and every time the Holy Spirit prompts you and you remember that person, lift them up in prayer. It's not thinking about it or agreeing with it that matters. It's how you respond. So Jesus said, if you're able to understand this, then you need to respond. Hallelujah. If you study it for the sake of time today, I'm not going to go there, but if you look at that parable of the seed and the sower, it's not about seeds and it's not about dirt. It's about God's word and it's about people. How many of you are aware of that? If you read on in that chapter, they ask him, explain it. And he goes, well, the seed that's sown is the word of God. And the four different types of soil are four different types of people that hear it. And he goes, the first one is the type of person that they hear it, but they're so hard on the surface, they don't really want it. They don't understand it. And because they don't understand it or respond to it at all, it just sits there for a second and Satan comes, take that away. We've all wondered sometimes, how did I not get it back then? You know, Now that I got it, how did I not get it? You know, somebody should have been telling me. And I'm like, we were telling you for 15 years. And you were hearing it in your ears. But you were not responding to what you were hearing. I'm going to say it to you this way, and then I'm going to move on. If you don't respond, I guarantee you one thing. It's going to get stolen from you. You can't just go, well, I think I'll set that on my shelf. Maybe I'll respond to that Tuesday. No, you won't, because by Tuesday, it won't be there anymore. By 1 minute from now, do you hear me? By 1 minute from now, it might not be there. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you something during the service, or you're walking down your hallway and maybe you've been beating yourself up about things, he goes, why are you so disappointed in yourself? You better stop right that second and you better receive what he said to you, and you need to respond to it. You need to go, I don't know why I've been so hard on myself. Because what's he telling you? I mean, you respond, interact with it. Receive that truth and interact with it. Because the truth will what? Every drunk in every bar in America knows that. The truth is, how do I thank you, friend? Well, you ought to try walking in it then, Bubba. Come on. And I'm not condemning nobody. Every single one of us used to be completely lost, and it didn't really matter what we were doing because we're lost or we're saved. You know, we're either lost or we're saved. That's just it. How many kinds of people in the world are there? Two kinds, lost and saved. If you're saved, you used to be lost. Can't point your finger at anybody because you used to be the same way. So, well, I didn't do what they did. No, you did something different. But it doesn't matter. If you hear me, you need to respond. Amen. If you can hear me, Jesus says, if you can hear me, you need to respond. There are people that are convinced, I don't hear God. It's not true. If you didn't hear God, you wouldn't be listening to me right now. If you can hear my voice, whether you're hearing me live in person inside this room or you're hearing me on the radio, I guarantee you this, if you couldn't hear God, you would not be hearing me now, because it wasn't Satan that led you to listen to this. And it wasn't just your own little thing, because your flesh could find other things to do. You were prompted by God Almighty, because he loves you and wants you to hear the truth. You can hear God. Settle it. I can hear God. If you believe that, respond to it. You got to decide, I can hear God. I just told you truth. If you heard God say it to you, you said, well, yeah, that's right, I can hear God. Faith comes by hearing. So faith comes. Question is, what are we going to do when faith comes? If you can understand this, you need to respond. What am I going to do when faith comes? I'm going to take hold of it. What is faith? In essence, at its most elementary form, in my opinion, it is an assurance, a belief that God is love, that he loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. I mean, you can say it a lot of different ways, but it just gets down to that. I just believe God is love. He loves me. The Bible says faith works by love. If you don't believe in the love of God, your faith, whatever faith you might call faith, it ain't going to work. A whole foundation of our faith is belief in the love of God and trust in the love of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing. So we answered the question from Romans 10:17, how does faith come? So let me ask you this one. So how does a lack of faith come? If faith comes by hearing, then how does a lack of faith happen? I would assume by lack of hearing. That's what I would assume. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then I would assume that a lack of faith comes by not hearing and not hearing from the word of God. I remember back in the day, this was my theology. I grew up in a church that taught me the truth about Jesus, but I developed my own mindset, and I really did believe this as a teenager, and I'm a little older. I really believed this. I believed, man, if you live be 80 years old and you live 41 of them good and 39 bad, I thought, well, hey, the scales will tip slightly in your favor, and that's all you need to get in there. They didn't teach me that. No one ever taught me that, because that's a bold-faced lie. There are false religions in the world that teach things like that, scales, karma. That's not the truth. The truth is, unless you're born again as a child of God by receiving Jesus Christ as your sacrifice, you will not go to heaven regardless of how much good or bad you've done or not done. That's the truth. I heard that. Did you respond? Have you responded to that truth? The only appropriate response to that truth is to surrender yourself completely to Jesus and quit trying to fix it. Let him.
We hope hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
So if faith comes by hearing, and I said we've discerned that lack of faith comes by not hearing and just ignoring the Word of God and not listening when God speaks. Because if God didn't speak to sinners, no sinner would ever get saved. So don't try to convince me that God don't talk to sinners. God talks to people while they're drunk, while they're high, while they're doing every kind of evil thing in the world. God is standing there. You say, well, where was God when this horrible thing happened? He was right there talking to somebody trying to prevent it. But they were over there going, la, 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 la. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not listening to you. And every destructive, evil, hurtful thing that's going on in our world is an absolute fruit of people's rebellion, not God's hatred towards people. If you can hear me, respond to that. Yes, that's the truth. Yeah, that is the truth. Let's just go over here to Mark chapter 6. Go to Mark 6. I'm gonna try to wrap this up for you. Every good gift ought to have wrapping. I'll wrap it up. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. You've probably read this or heard this. Jesus left there and he went to his hometown and he was accompanied by disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. Who was teaching? Jesus. Who, by the way, is the Word of God himself in the flesh. So you know when he's teaching, it's anointed. Come on. It's anointed and people could hear from God by listening to Jesus teach. And faith comes how? Hearing. And hearing by word of God. So man, here's a great opportunity to have some faith. So he's teaching in the synagogue, and many heard him. Praise God, they heard him. Hallelujah. They were amazed. They said, where'd this man get these things? And what is this wisdom that's been given to him? They recognized that what he was teaching was wisdom. They said, he even does miracles. We heard about it. He does miracles. And then they went down this road. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't the guy, don't he work at the carpenter shop down the road there? Isn't this Mary's son? Isn't this the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? And then what? What'd they take? What'd they grab a hold of? How'd they respond? They responded. Faith came. Faith came because the Word of God himself was standing there speaking the truth, teaching them. Doesn't tell us what he was teaching them, but I guarantee you whatever he was teaching, it was truth. And it was word from God. Because Jesus said, I don't speak my own words. I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. And I say it how he tells me to say it. Amen? How many know that's from the Gospel of John? So if Jesus is saying it, it's literally like you've got God the Father on speakerphone. And they were hearing from God. And faith was present. But instead of responding by taking a hold of faith and not only agreeing with the Word of God, but stepping out to respond on what the truth had been revealed, they did something else instead. What'd they do? They got offended. They took offense. Now, on one hand, they could have just as easily or more easily reached out and took faith. Here's what it says. They took offense at him. Now watch what the result of that is. Faith is present, but they didn't respond to faith. They responded to offense. Anytime God's trying to speak to you to lead you to do good, the enemy's going to try to combat that, try to speak into your life, try to cause you confusion, always give you another plan. I learned something from a prophet of God years ago that has spared me a lot of heartache and helped me learn to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. And he said this, he said, don't ever listen to the second voice. Amen. They said, isn't that the carpenter? They took offense. Next verse. Jesus said to them, only his hometown, among his own relatives, and his own house is a prophet without honor. So he got mad at him and refused to do anything. Is that what it says? That is not what it says. That's why it's important to read the Bible for yourself. Somebody might tell you something that ain't even true. What does it say? He could not do any miracles there. Who couldn't do miracles there? Some preacher? No, Jesus. Jesus himself couldn't even do miracles there. Something prevented him, but he could release some healing to a few sick folk. Let's watch this. Verse 6 will tell us exactly what's going on. They tied his hands with unbelief. And Jesus was amazed. I don't want him to be amazed at my stubborn refusal to accept the truth because it doesn't seem true to me because of my experiences. I don't feel healed. Guess I'm not. The Bible says, by his stripes you were or are, depending on your whether you're reading it from Isaiah 53 or whether you're reading it from 1 Peter 2:24, you either were or are. I figure if you were and are, you still is. He said, no, I'm not. Okay, you're right. Because whatever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, that's what you're going to have. Mark 11:24. I can't contradict that. My faith for you cannot overrule your refusal to believe God. Each one of us has to hear from the Holy Spirit himself, from God, from his word, and just simply just respond with childlike. How many of you know God likes childlike faith? They don't analyze it. They just believe it. Why? Because somebody they trust told them so. And that's what Jesus wants us to be like with Father God, the only one who will never lie to you and never deceive you. He just needs us to respond, to hear and respond, believing. Amen. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Show us that verse in the Passion Translation. He was amazed at the depth of their unbelief. See, it's not just a simple lack of faith. If I don't choose to respond to God by believing what he says, do you understand that it's not going to just be a vacant space in my heart? Unbelief floods into that vacancy where there's a lack of faith. It's like darkness. Darkness is not really actually even a thing. It's just simply an absence of light. That's all it is. That's why you could take the darkest place on ever, and you just take a little, even a little bitty birthday candle, and all of a sudden that light lights up the darkness. Well, how come so big amount of darkness don't put out the light of the candle? Because darkness is not really a thing. It just needs light. It's just the absence of light. Well, you know what this unbelief is? It's an absence of faith. And faith is, I heard you, God, and I'm responding. Not I heard you and I agree. I heard you and I'm responding. I'm making adjustments. I'm lining up with what you said. Here's a great theological statement for you. Life's better when you act like the Bible's true. It's the absolute truth. If you'll just act like the Bible's true, live like the Bible's true, man, life will get better and better and better and better. I don't need to figure it all out. I've got an owner's manual. So he was literally amazed. And I'm going to say it this way, how deep unbelief had taken root in them. And where did it start? It starts by being offended. It starts by being offended at who he is. It starts by choosing not to respond when you have an opportunity to. Glory to God. I'm going to take you one more place. John chapter 12. I believe it would be verse 36. He goes, so put your trust in the light while you have it. Remember I told you about the seed sown on the path, laying there, and the bird, and that bird represents Satan stealing the word. What word? That word that God spoke to you. Satan's not going to steal your Bible, most likely. He's going to get another one. He wants to steal the word out of your heart. That word that when we were preaching or when you were reading or whatever it was, or the Holy Spirit just spoke to you. You know, he might have been in the shower. The Holy Spirit just spoke to you. But you knew it was God. And if you don't respond to that, Satan's going to come get it from you right quick because he doesn't want that word to take root in your heart. And here's the truth. You can't stay neutral. If you don't respond to God by believing him, you have responded to God by doubting him. But for God to do things in our life, it requires faith. And faith is hearing from God and responding appropriately. Amen. And so Jesus told them, he goes, listen, I'm not going to be here very much longer. I'm going to go. But he goes, you need to respond. You need to take hold of. You need to light. You need to put your trust in the light while you have the light with you. Now, I believe he's talking about himself, but I also believe he's talking about the revelation that he had brought to them. How many know in Scripture, revelation is always represented by light? When God reveals something, says God shines his light on it. So I want you and I to get it this way. If God shines his light on something and all of a sudden it comes alive to you, oh, I can see that now. You better immediately grab a hold of that and take it and respond to it. Yeah, I'm making that change right now. Maybe it's about your words. God put revelation light. Yeah, your words do matter. You need to quit saying, I'm just saying, right before you talk all that stuff that goes against what God said. And you need to realize that your words really, really do matter. What should you do? You should go, yep, that's the truth. I know that is the truth from the Bible. And you know what? From this point forward, Father God, I surrender my mouth to you. Forgive me for any word. See, I'm responding. I'm not just going, boy, I'm such a wretch. He don't want you to respond like that. When God brings conviction, he is not stamping you, I disapprove. When God brings conviction, he's going, here's your key to freedom. God's not condemning you. He's convicting you because he wants a better life for you. Amen. Glory to God. Here's my question to you. What's God been saying to you? I don't want you to answer me. I want you to answer you. What's God been saying to you? And then the second part of the question is, have you responded yet? If you haven't, no time like the present. I'm going the other way now. But I'm going to assure you this. No one ever made the turn out here before they made the turn in here. I'm asking you today to make the turn outside, yes, by all means. But I'm asking you that if you haven't done it, make the turn on the inside. First and foremost, if you've never completely surrendered to Jesus, you don't need me to beg you to do it. Your life is begging you to do it. Because I know you're miserable, and I know you're afraid, and I know that when you think about eternal things, it scares you half to death. How do you know? Because I've been there. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, you don't need to live in that kind of torment. You just need to respond to the fact that you've been told that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, and you need to let that be the case. If we go out today and I say, let me buy you dinner, I cannot buy your dinner unless you allow me to. So I don't want you to pay for my stuff. That's what keeps a lot of people from Jesus, called pride. I got this. No, you don't. If you got this, your life would be different. And when we've not responded to make Jesus our Lord, we're miserable, man. Whether we want to admit it or not, we're miserable. And I'm telling you today, God don't want you living in misery. So in just a second, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. If you say, I haven't responded to Jesus like that. I hear you. Do you? If you hear me, then respond. Complete and total surrender. I give it up. I'm done trying to call all the shots, Jesus. I have messed this thing up, and I need your help. I don't care what words you use, but that's the attitude. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready. I give my total control of my life to you, Jesus. If you're ready to make that step, I'm giving total control of my life to Jesus. You just simply say, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to give total control of my life. And if you did that, I want to pray a quick prayer with you. I want you to say this, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. I believe that you paid the penalty for my sins by dying on the cross, by descending into hell, and by being resurrected from the dead for me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of all my sin. Make me new and be the Lord of my life in every way. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to the Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.